Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Crypto Girl Snake Star Podcast. I'm Kat, and joining me as usual every week is my co-host Sass.
Hello, that was a great intro you just did there.
Thank you, Sass.
You're welcome.
Yeah, like, I don't, have you been looking at a space?
What space are you talking about?
Okay,
Kat?
This is okay.
What
you
space?
Know, I was with my partner's family the past weekend, and they will look at us and they'll be like, can you guys explain to me the space?
What
and of
space?
Course, they meant
I hate
to
when people say that.
Yeah, but they meant it like crypto space and
like outer space?
Yeah, which is something that they don't understand. Like everything outer space, they don't get it. So they call it like, they'll look at me space. And they'll be like, Kat, can you explain to me the space? And they'll look at me with these eyes that I'm like, okay.
Like it's this total, honestly, I feel you, because when I try and explain, I'm doing air quotes right now, the space to people who don't work in this industry, I can see their eyes start to glaze over, and I'm not sure if they just like don't care anymore or if they think I'm a crazy person. But that's kind of the
yeah, but
I usually
I don't really blame people, because something new seems to be always popping up in the crypto space.
And it's crazy. It's so dramatic.
It is. And that's why I feel that why we are doing this podcast is to keep our listeners well-informed and educated, right?
Yes.
So it's really, really important, guys. And
Don't get caught up in the drama.
Yeah, don't get caught up in drama. There are a lot of noise. So really stay grounded on where you're getting your information from. And last week we did a debunking on like crypto myths. And one of the myths that we debunk is NFT is not just a digital image on the internet. So I think this week, Sass, we are going back to basics and we're going to look into what exactly NFTs are.
So. NFTs 101s.
Yeah, NFTs
101. So whether you've been in the space for a long time or a short time, I think you can take something away from what we're going to talk about.
And honestly, I think everyone, even people that are not involved in the space, heard of the word NFT. And, you know, it's been talked about so much in 2021 that Collins Dictionary named it to be the word of the year.
So, I remember. And it was also one of the most Googled terms, I believe, last year. I stand to be corrected, though. I didn't actually check, but I'm pretty sure that last year Google announced that.
For it to be word of the year, it probably have some crazy search volume.
Yeah. And I think it's important to mention that while NFTs have been around for a while, they became very popular and very mainstream. And your mom and brother were Googling what an NFT is because of the moment that happened in February 2021 when Beeple sold his artwork every day for $69 million at auction. That was crazy.
And before, I know before he came into the NFT world, he was selling real, like, physical art. And it was only going for, what, $100 to $200? That was, like, his price point. And after he discovered NFT, he sold a previous artwork for around $20 million. And then for his 69 million NFTs, following his 69 million NFT success. So that's pretty incredible.
Yeah, and I don't know if many people know, but people didn't actually know what an NFT was 6 months prior to this sale. So it's crazy.
Yeah.
He learned about what NFTs were. He kind of saw an opportunity, and then he was able to become this kind of prolific figure in the NFT space.
Yeah, and he's a very dedicated artist. I don't know if you follow his Instagram, but he has a digital art released on his Instagram page every single day. And they are honestly pretty dark, but really interesting take of what's going on around the world.
Yeah, no, it's his Instagram is definitely very interesting.
I love it. Yeah.
It is definitely very interesting.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, last week we explained non-fungible token and fungible token. So should we give a short recap?
Yeah, let's do a very, very quick recap. I will bring back the example that I said last week. So a fungible token is something that is easily replaceable, right? So if you have a $5 bill and I have a $5 bill and we switch those $5 bills, they're the exact same thing. We both still have $5. So that means that it is fungible. Kat, what is non-fungible?
Non-fungible basically means the opposite of that, is that they cannot be duplicated and they are very unique. So unlike like one Bitcoin is exactly the same as one Bitcoin, being worth the same amount and having the same properties, for NFT, it's not the case. Everything is unique.
There we go. There you have it. That's what a fungible token is and a non-fungible token.
Yeah, it sounds so fun.
Fungible.
Yeah, and NFT is indeed very fun because if you've been looking at the news, some of our top memes that we have been looking since we were kids, like younger, have been sold as an NFT on the past 2 years. So that's pretty interesting. And one of the more renowned one is the Neon Cat. Do you remember Neon Cat?
I remember Neon Cat, and I remember when that NFT sold. But like some other really interesting stories for me last year was when like all of these memes that have been in our lives for so long, or like videos, yeah, like the Charlie Bit My Finger, mm-hmm, video on YouTube, all sold as NFTs. And I think that this just kind of was building on all of the excitement. I don't think a lot of people really truly knew what NFTs were and what NFTs could do. But I think very true to their past, these memes, these videos latched onto it because it was buzzworthy. NFTs themselves were a meme in kind of a way. And it was so fun to see these old things from our past come back reimagined as NFTs.
Yeah, the Charlie Bit My Finger NFT actually sold for around 800,000 at that point. And
yeah,
apparently crazy. The parents released that, oh, because they managed to sell and have it sold nearly $800,000, the brothers in the video, they were able to pay their college. So that's pretty cool.
Yay for them.
Yeah.
Yay for them.
But I know about the NFT, but NFT, they have different ERC standard, right, Sass?
Yeah, so I think you need to give us a little lesson in ERC standards, because many people outside of the crypto industry, even mm-hmm, inside of the crypto industry, don't really know what ERCs are.
Okay, so ERC stands for Ethereum Request for Command. And there are a lot of ERC standard in the space. So for example, like issuing tokens are the most popular token standard, we call them ERC20. So you probably have heard of ERC20 because it's the one of the more popular ones. And then for NFT, they are under ERC721. Is that simple enough, Sess?
That's simple enough, but why do I need to know this?
Because different kind of standard will determine the way it's being on the smart contract. And this is a concept that is devised by the Internet Engineering Task Force as a means of conveying essential technical notes and requirements to a group of developers and users. So these are rules of documents that, like, not documents, but standards that the Ethereum-based tokens must comply with.
Got it, got it, got it. So if I am launching an NFT collection, why
it has to be unique.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, why it has to be unique. That's why ERC 721, it's different from ERC 20. Because ERC 20, like what we mentioned just now, I'm not very into technical thing side of it, but ERC 20 is for tokens where we said it was fungible. But ERC 721 is for non-fungible token.
Right, so that's the technical underlying of NFTs, the token aspect. But let's talk more about the fun aspect. like I said earlier, 2021 wasn't when NFTs were invented. They were actually mm-hmm, invented in 2014 when we saw the first ever NFT mm-hmm, minted by Kevin McCoy on the Namecoin blockchain. And we probably don't even ever need to know what the Namecoin blockchain is. I think just May 2nd, 2014 is when the idea of an NFT first came to life. Since then, we've had a bunch of OG NFT projects that were minted when no one knew what an NFT was. And I think the most notable, one of the earliest, is the first Rare Pepe NFT. Do you know when that was minted?
No. Please share more.
September 9th,
2016. Whoa, that's a long time ago.
I know.
It's really long. It's before ICO was like, yeah, the main thing. Yeah. Cool. Oh, wow. Tell me more, Seth.
I know. Okay, I'll take you everyone down a little trip down memory lane. So then CryptoPunks were launched by Larva Labs in June 2017. And at that time, the average NFT sale price just surpassed $100 for the first time. So when CryptoPunks were invented, just 1 week later, NFTs were selling for a hefty amount of around $100.
So expensive.
It's
guest fee, basically.
Can you imagine paying $100 for a CryptoPunk now? Oh my gosh. In 2017, that same year, near the end of the year in November, CryptoKitties were released to the public and NFT prices went down. Can you guess what the average NFT sale price was at the end of 2017?
$500?
I just said it went down, Kat.
Oh, sorry. $50.
$7.18.
You're kidding. No. Oh, my.
I know.
I thought $500 was low because of current market.
I know. Well, yeah. No. Went down to $7. And then in 2020, we didn't really see much happen with NFTs, except NBA Top Shot was launched by Dapper Labs and the NBA. And then 2021... The rest is history.
Yeah, so Seth, you know, last week how we debunk NFT is not just digital image on the internet. So apparently they have a lot of use cases. So what are some applications that we can use using NFT technology?
Okay, I think this, we said it last week, but I have to say it again. NFTs are not just digital art. And in many cases, the non-fungible token you have points to a piece of digital art, but you don't actually actually have that physical piece of digital art, right? You have the non-fungible token. That digital art could be living kind of anywhere on the internet, and you may have the right to use it as your display pick or whatever. So that's kind of everyone's understanding of what an NFT is, and I can understand why. If you think that that's what it is, you're like, why on earth would I pay $69 million for this digital piece of art? And we spoke about this a little bit last week, but it's so important if you're following NFTs to just remember that utility is coming. And there are a lot of problems that are being solved in this space right now when it comes to utility, where we're thinking about these non-fungible tokens as, you know, access into certain groups of people, access to certain real world experiences, access to certain online experiences, proof that you own digital assets. Now, why might I want to own a digital asset? Why might I want to own a digital asset? Well, maybe because I want to flex that digital asset in the metaverse. So there's lots and lots of utility coming, and we're starting to see it kind of unfold before our eyes. Kat, what are you most excited about when you think about the future of NFTs?
I'm most excited about the utility of physical property, like houses and unique artwork. So I think one thing that is most like covered among the mainstream media is virtual collectibles, which is like the CryptoKitties that we mentioned and collectible cards. But there is so much more that we can do, and we have been seeing there's a lot of things going on, like real estate, Property Inc., even fashion industry are coming in. You know, Louis Vuitton released Louis the Game last year in August.
Okay, pause. 30. Did you play Louis the Game?
I did. Did you?
Did you like it?
Okay. I gotta say, it's all
it
right.
It wasn't good. It wasn't good. Say it. Yeah. I played it and it was like this like running in random directions.
Yeah, and I didn't understand much. Like collecting the sparkly wand thing, I'm just like, what's next? You know,
I thought I was gonna get an NFT. But I have a fun fact for you. Do you know whose company was behind that game?
Dapper Labs?
No.
I'm not too sure.
Ooh. Beeple.
Ah, okay. Now that's a bit disappointing. Well, to know.
I think it's important to remind everyone that a lot of these games are still in beta, right? And so what we might come to have expected from like Web 2 games, we need to be a little easy on people who are developing in Web3 and developing these metaverse games that include NFTs. We're still early, early days. So I'm going to give them a little bit of leeway.
Yeah, there are a lot of things that yet to be battle tested. So we have to be understanding, you know, we are moving forward, not backwards. So that's a good thing. we have a lot of things going on too, right? Like even the Web3 version of GoDaddy, ENS domains, they recently got 2 million domains sold. So that's pretty interesting too.
I've never heard anyone call ENS the Web3 version of GoDaddy. And that's probably because I don't talk to normal people.
But, you know, for everyone that's not in the space to understand, that's how we have to put it.
That's amazing. I love that.
We should probably get a Crypto Girls Next Door ENS domain.
We should. We should. Now, I want to talk more about the metaverse because metaverse on everyone's mind, got metaverse on the mind. And NFTs play a really big role in the metaverse. And so even, Kat, you were talking about NFTs being attached to physical items, like property, for example. Now, imagine if you bought a house and you got an NFT version of your house that you could then, you know, put onto your virtual land so that you can start to create your digital identity that either mirrors your physical identity or is slightly different. It's kind of crazy when you explain it that way, but I think we are heading to a future where the physical world and the digital world is becoming increasingly blurred.
Yeah, I think that's very interesting as well, because I think in the previous episode you did mention about Sandbox with which that artist again, Snoop Dogg. Yeah, Snoop Dogg released the first ever music video produced, right, in the Sandbox game metaverse. So that is how music, metaverse, NFT all get integrated into one.
Yeah, Snoop Dogg is sick.
Yeah, he is. And Steve Aoki too, which we were lucky enough to watch them watch Steve Aoki perform.
Yeah, we saw Steve Aoki perform live at NFT NYC and it was so much fun. He didn't smash any cakes, unfortunately.
Yeah,
maybe he did.
I
after
wish,
we left. We left early.
I
we're
wish
old.
There's cake. We need cake. Yeah. Yeah, but on top of that, we have a lot of other popular NFTs that's going on. One of it is Poep. You guys might have been seeing Poep popping up when you attend a certain crypto event, which allows you to record when you attend an event or complete specific actions. So Poeps are, the great thing about Poeps, they are free to create and distribute. So you can kind of track loyalty from a Poep.
I think that's an important point you brought up there, Kat, and I don't know that you meant to bring it up, but one of the big stigmas that we need to get rid of is that NFTs cost a lot of money and you can't afford them, because there are a lot of NFTs that are free out there. There are a lot of NFTs that you get for attending an event. You don't need to pay any money. In a lot of instances, you may have to pay the gas fee to mint. The gas fee is almost like a transaction fee. So the same kind of transaction fee, let's say if you were sending money over PayPal, that's what a gas fee is. And so we need to get rid of the stigma that NFTs are just too expensive, because that utility that we spoke about that comes along with NFTs doesn't cost anything, right? And I think we're going to see a lot of projects being launched in the next few years that don't cost hundreds of thousands of dollars, tens of thousands of dollars, or even hundreds of dollars. They just give holders access to exclusive communities and access to more engaged conversations and communities.
Yeah, as NFT tech continues to receive more and more funding in the space and boosting the business interest in what it can be used for, as we have seen the application increase throughout the past 18 months, we are likely to see even more further developments in the next few years. So NFT as an art in the fashion industry, in the music industry and whatnot, or even in the metaverse, I'm very excited to see how much potential there are.
I am being, a believer in NFTs. And so, I mean, let us know if we did a good job at explaining what NFTs are. And let us know if you have any questions. We are happy to address them either on Twitter or on the next episode. Crypto
do drop your Do drop your questions. Do drop your crazy stories on our Linktree. And we'll be happy to bring them on the show.
Okay, amazing. So that's another episode of Crypto Girls Next Door. We are having so much fun welcoming you into the wild, wild world of crypto. Please subscribe to our podcast, leave us a 5-star rating, and follow us on Twitter. On Twitter, we are CGND podcast. So find us on Twitter, engage with us. We'd love to hear from you. And we will talk to you.